Today's gospel is the account of the wedding feast at Cana, where famously Jesus changes water into wine. It's interesting that his first public miracle happens in the context of a wedding. The church has always seen this as a confirmation of the importance and dignity of Christian marriage. So yesterday I had a wedding in the Twin Cities, a former student of mine, and I, instead of talking about the readings that they chose, I talked about today's readings, this gospel, because the first Sunday Mass that they'll attend, which is today, as a new couple, they'll get to hear this story of the wedding feast at Cana, which I thought was pretty cool. So one thing that's very interesting about this miracle is that, first of all, it's the first one in John's gospel that Jesus performs once he begins his public ministry. John, the gospel writer, obviously believes it's very important because he surrounds it with very heightened language. And so at the end of this gospel, he says this: Jesus did this as the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. It's very interesting that John says that this is the miracle that reveals Jesus' glory. Because we can think about all the different miracles that Jesus performs in the gospel. He walks on water. He multiplies the loaves and the fishes. He restores sight to the blind, allows cripples to walk. He raises the dead. And this is the miracle that John says reveals Jesus' glory. He provides wine at a wedding reception. Seems to be his least important miracle. But yet John is telling us it's really important. So the church has always believed something magnificent is being revealed through this gospel scene. But it's being revealed through sign and symbol. Whenever we read John's gospel in particular, we have to be reading at different levels. So there's the literal level that we read at, which is the historical story, what Jesus says, what Jesus does, what other people in the story say and do. But then there's also things going on under the surface, on the level of symbol. And so that's really where we need to dive in order to understand why this wedding reception and the miracle Jesus performs there in John's eyes represents the manifestation of the glory of Jesus. So I guess there's so much that we could say about this passage, but I just want to draw our attention to the six stone water jars there. So these water jars would have been found in many homes, but the homes of faithful Jews, because they would use them to wash their hands, which they had to do to purify their hands because of Jewish law. These stone water jars are humongous. So each are holding 20 to 30 gallons. It's also interesting that they're stone because a lot of times the Jews would use clay jars, which were a lot cheaper. But the problem with clay jars is that the impurity would seep into the clay. And so after a while, you'd have to break the jars. You couldn't clean them to make them pure because of the way that the water would seep into the clay. But stone jars, wealthy people had, because you could clean them. And so you didn't have to constantly be replacing these jars that you're using for washings. So the fathers of the church said that these stone water jars represent the Old Testament, the old covenant that God made with his people. The stone jars are used for the old Jewish laws, and they're full of water. Now, water's good. It's essential for life. But when we compare water to wine, then we realize that we're comparing apples to oranges. We need water in order to live, but wine brings something very special to life. It makes us joyful. It's one of my favorite things. And it really elevates a celebration. If you go to a birthday party and everyone's just drinking water, the atmosphere is going to be a little bit different than if people are drinking wine. In a good way. I don't mean over-drinking wine, but there's an elevation that occurs, a lightness of heart when wine is introduced. And so the fathers of the church told us that this is a metaphor for what God brings in the new covenant. They said that the new covenant is like the new covenant compared to the old is like wine compared to water. That there's something that's so good and fresh and enlivening and enlightening that is added when Jesus comes and establishes the new. And so we see here how literally the old, the water in these large Jewish stone jars is transformed by the presence of Jesus into something that gives life, that gives joy. This also occurs on the natural level too. St. Thomas Aquinas says that grace presupposes and elevates nature. So I was just thinking about this I just got back from a vacation, and every year now for 10 years, I've gone with six of my priest classmates down to Puerto Vallarta. And so there are seven of us priests. I feel so blessed to go. I realize that if you have little kids, you aren't able to go. So my spiritual children don't prevent me from taking a vacation. Sometimes biological children prevent us from being able to take a vacation. So I really feel blessed to be able to do it. But I was just thinking about what a blessing it is to have Christ as a part of my vacation. Because I go with my closest friends, guys that I went to the seminary with, and we have a wonderful time together, but it elevates our time so much that we pray together, that we celebrate the Mass together, that we share on a deep level together. So it doesn't at all take away the fun that we have on vacation, but it actually elevates the fun. Because everything that we do while we're there, we are really doing in the Spirit of the Lord, receiving all the good things that He gives us. And we do play a lot of aggressive and overly competitive beach volleyball. And we eat well and we drink well while we're there. But because Christ, our Lord, is a part of all of it, our friendships, but also what we do while we're down there, the whole experience is elevated. And so it takes the natural good of sun, beach, food, drink, friendship, conversation, and it elevates it to a new level where we're able to experience communion with one another and with God through everything that we do. There isn't some time when we're with God and some time when we're not with God, because we invite God into all of it. It changes and transforms the whole experience and makes the whole experience one of joy and health and life. All because it's in the Lord. So this is also what we see happening here in the story, that Jesus changes water into wine. And this is what he wants to do in our life as we invite Jesus into all the aspects of our life, that he takes the natural and supernaturalizes it, which elevates it, which makes it more fulfilling, more joyful. This is what Christ wants to do in all the aspects of our life, our work, our relationships, our leisure, our vacations, all of that. It's what he can and wants to do. So brothers and sisters, today we have this beautiful reading that reminds us that God in Jesus wants to marry us as a people. This is what we heard in our first reading, when God says, "As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you." The first miracle of Jesus occurs at a wedding. He's telling us here that he comes to bring the life of the bridegroom to the bride, and we're the bride. So at this Mass today, we receive, even though we just receive the host, we receive in the host the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity, something so much better than mere bread or mere wine, the very life of Jesus. So let's ask him today to take our nature and what's naturally good in us and in our lives and elevate it, to elevate all the aspects of our life, so that whatever we do, work, play, relationship, we may experience his blessing, his presence, which brings joy and elevation to the naturally good.